Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. The gospel reading can be found on page 877 of the Pew Bibles, and it's John chapter 14, beginning at verse 23. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them. And we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please take your seats. It struck me as I read the passages of scripture that we were going to hear and consider today that kind of two themes emerged, for me anyway. Guidance and obedience. At the church that Nick and I used to go to before we moved up here, the vicar used to choose the hymns for the Sunday Eucharist. And I confess that I got fed up with playing some of his favourites. It's a bold confession, wasn't it, Steve? He seemed to love to sing the hymn Trust and Obey. Now, that's an old standard that I had been singing since childhood and possibly rebelling quite a lot at the obey part.
Can we sing that next week?
If I'm away. Well, older now and arguably wiser, I think I understand a little bit more about that word obey and about obedience. Because that old hymn says there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Well, I don't know how that word obey resonates with you here this morning, but surely it brings to us that thought, obey what? Well, the rules, of course. We obey rules for lots of reasons. In this country, to keep us safe, we drive on the left and we stop at red lights. To avoid certain sanctions, we obey rules. Don't hand your homework in late or you'll get a detention. Maybe we obey rules to keep us healthy. Don't live on takeaways and fried foods. You get my meaning anyway. However, in our gospel reading, and incidentally, in my Bible, most of John chapters 14 to 16 are in red print, indicating that they are the words of Jesus. But this whole concept of obedience is inextricably linked with love. If you have the Pew Bible open, just glance back to verse 21, which is before today's reading began. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Red print in my Bible, Jesus speaking. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Now, this is what got Judas, confusingly also known as Thaddeus, so not the one who betrayed Jesus, asking a question. Why show yourself to us and not to the whole world? And it's this question which Jesus is answering as we began our reading today. You know, we always come in on something, don't we? And it's helpful to know what's gone before. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Obedience inextricably linked with love. Jesus, in obedience to his Father, laid aside his majesty and the glories of heaven to come and reveal the very nature of Father God, to come and live and die and rise again for our salvation. Love in action, love and obedience linked. Jesus came not like a man, but as a man, tempted in every respect, just as we are. So he knows our frailty and he knows the difficulty that we have with obedience. He understood perfectly how difficult his disciples were going to find it once he returned to his Father in heaven. But in this long upper room discourse, as it's called, these three chapters worth of teaching, Jesus spells out so clearly the way forward for his disciples and therefore for us too. The provision made for them and for us of the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the one who would come alongside. The Greek word used is parakletos. I'm not a Greek student, but I read these things in commentaries. And the Holy Paraclete is an expression used in some very old hymns. Steve's nodding, you see, because he's sung that before. That's good. And in these chapters, in the red print in John's Gospel, we have that word, parakletos, used five times. And each time, it's expressing another part of the role of the Holy Spirit, to help you and be with you forever, to teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you, says Jesus. The Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. He will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. He will glorify me. These roles or aspects of the Holy Spirit. I think it makes quite a lot of sense at this time in the church's year between, well, we're still in the Easter season, but between Easter Day and Pentecost, that we can look at some of the promise of the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, we're encouraged to look at the accounts in the Acts of the Apostles, the outworking of that promise. So we can challenge ourselves as we read, in the light of the teaching and the promise of Jesus and the account of the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of the apostles and the early believers, what am I going to do about it? How am I going to live in loving obedience? Now, it's in our Acts reading today that I have that sense of the concept of guidance. We heard last week about one of the ways which God was giving guidance through a vision. Angela encouraged us to go home and read Acts 10. And if you did, you will have read about two visions. Cornelius had a vision. He was being devout and obedient, praying to God regularly. And one day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which was the regular hour of prayer, he had a vision. Peter at noon went up on the roof, following the example of Jesus, going away quietly to pray. And he had a vision. And in our reading this morning, Paul, during the night, had a vision. The man from Macedonia calling Paul and his companions, Silas and Timothy, where their next mission should be. It wasn't particularly where they wanted to go, but it was where God had prepared the way for them. We remember that this seeing of visions as a result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God had been prophesied. And the apostles would have known that. They knew their scriptures. It was prophesied in Joel. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. That prophecy, alongside the teaching of Jesus, was preparing the disciples for the sort of guidance that they may experience as they walked in obedience, in the way that Jesus had taught them and had modelled for them. Their obedience to the guidance of the Holy Spirit in Paul's vision led them to a leading city in the area of Macedonia, but it had no synagogue. It was a Roman colony, so perhaps that explains how there weren't enough Jewish men, as there needed to be 10 Jewish married men to form a synagogue. But in the new and emerging Christian church, no such rule applied. So Paul and his companions went to where they would expect to find a place of prayer, traditionally by running water. And they found women there, possibly led by Lydia, who was a businesswoman and was a worshipper of God. And we read that she and all her household were baptized, and they became the foundation of a worshipping community, which I think she probably hosted in her home. Years later, in his letter to the church at Philippi, Paul gives thanks for their partnership in the gospel from the first day. So, you know, I'm quite thankful when I reflect for the hymn writers who've been able to distill some biblical teaching into a form that's easy for us to remember. So I apologise to my previous vicar for his choice of the hymns and rebelling against it. Because when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. If we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. And in the final verse, then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Angela set you homework last week, so it's all right. I'll set you some this week. Read the whole of these three chapters of John, if you can, 14, 15 and 16, and allow yourself to hear Jesus inviting you into the very life of the Trinity, that dynamic dance of life that is God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And know that as you and I are willing to be those who love Jesus and obey his teaching, the promise for us from Jesus is, my Father will love them, God the Father. And we will come to them and make our home with them, God the Father and the Son. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Herein lies the secret to true content, to joy, and to peace. The kind of peace that the world is not able to offer. It's only through Jesus that we can have total well-being in fellowship with God, that true shalom, that peace that Jesus offers. Guidance and obedience. G-O, go. So today, when we are sent out at the end of our service from here to go in peace to love and serve the Lord, we can go with a humble confidence as ambassadors for him as we respond in the name of Christ. Amen.